Well, Reed, I've got a couple pages of stuff. This is almost like my journal, but I want to. Anytime I write stuff down and kind of dive into this, I always ask the Lord, is this private or public? And sometimes it's private and sometimes it's public. But I felt like the Lord wanted me to share this, kind of where we are right now. And I want to, as I'm reading this, I want you to understand something, that we are not all in the same place in our faith journey. Because a lot of times we'll come in and we'll see a Todd White or a Damon or Bill Johnson or whoever, and they're at this place where God is launching them out into some amazing stuff. And we're sitting here, and if we're not careful, we'll say, man, I suck as a Christian. You know, these guys are knocking it out of the ballpark and in this great place of just being released and launched and being used by God in a mighty way, and we're not there yet. And a lot of times, that's okay, guys, because we're not all going to hit this same spot at the same time. And any time you hear somebody, I think I can safely say this. I know I can safely say this for me. Anytime you hear somebody that is getting up and they are sharing what God is doing in their life and really throwing some good heavy kingdom stuff out there, like, man, God's rocking our world and he's just, giving us promotions and opening this door and this gate and all of these things and all that. That's not a thing of, hey, let me rub your nose in it and make you feel bad about yourself. It's a thing to show you what God has for all of us. It's a thing to give you permission to dream, to give you permission to go places and all of that. So I think a lot of times the enemy will come in and try to twist something and make it be a thing of where we don't walk away being inspired, but we walk away being feeling either bad about ourselves or bad about the person that God's actually launching into stuff. And so I just want to throw that out there to you, because we're going to get into something. We're going to talk about Joseph tonight in Genesis 41. The Lord carried me there last night in some really good study on that. And we're going to talk about how Bill Johnson always says, and suddenly doesn't just happen. So we want to talk about that some. So I want you to be encouraged in your journey. I want you to be inspired in your journey. And, I'm going to share one real quick story, and I've shared this with you guys before. I know once we were out at Sturgis, I think it was last year, and there was this a kid came up. I say kid, he was 20, 21 years old, something like that, and we were doing an install for him, and he was just kind of around everything, and we've got a pretty nice rig, and everything's going good, and all that stuff, and he was sitting there, and he's like, me and him were talking, and all of that, while the guys were doing the install, and he's like, man, you own this? And I said, yeah, I said, we started it in 2012, and all that, and he's like, all of a sudden, he was just like, man, that's what I'm going to do, that's what I want to be, that's what I want, like, right now. And I put the brakes on him immediately. I said, now, wait a minute, dude. I said, that's great and that's awesome, but you got to realize I've been doing this for 36 years. At that point, it was 36 years. I said, it don't happen overnight. And it's great to say I want to, be that guy. I want to be the Toms guy, and distribute 88 million pair of shoes. I want to be the guy that does stuff like that. But that does not happen overnight. And in our kingdom journey, a lot of times we get real impatient when we see somebody else walking through a gate of permission and we're not allowed to go through that gate. Or we see somebody else seeing something that we don't have permission to see yet. But what we have to understand is they have either paid a price to have access to that gate, or God has got a unique path or something for them. And so he may have this awesome thing for Keith to launch out into, but he may have something totally different, but just as awesome for you to launch into. But the timing may not and probably will not be the same. Okay? It may not and probably will. That's the beauty to me of a body, is we are not all going to get there at the same place. And that's also one of the challenging things of trying to minister to a body. Because you want to come in and you want to bring in basic gospel, basic kingdom and all of that for new believers, for people that have not been around it. But you want to stretch and challenge people that have been, have been doing it and chasing after God for a really long time. And so, but to me that's the beautiful dynamic of it. I love the fact, y'all know by now, I've got five grandkids, because I talk about them all the time. But, my oldest is in a different place than my youngest. And I love the things that Sydney Hannah can do, and I love the things that she is able to, you know, to experience and do all this stuff now. Right now she's, you know, missing all her front teeth because all her baby teeth are falling out, and, you know, she looks kind of like a 90-year-old woman except for a lot cuter. And, you know, because she just didn't have any teeth or anything. Like I said, we're going to have to give her like Purée to eat or something like that. And I absolutely love that little tadpole state she's getting into, but it's just as precious to sit back and look at KK and where she is. And she's just now learning to, you know, talk good and articulate and all of this stuff. And a church body should be the same way for us. It would be ridiculous for me to expect every one of my children to be at the same place that Sydney Hannah's at. And it would also be just as ridiculous for me to dumb Sydney Hannah down enough to where she's walking as a 2-year-old. And so, you know, I just throw all of that out there for us to understand that God has guided us at different places in our journey, and different doors are being opened, different gates are being opened, and different things are happening in our lives. So embrace where you are with the awareness and hunger and desire to move forward. And I'll even say move forward at an accelerated pace. Not so fast that you miss the process and miss the journey, but a lot of times we will want to crawl at a glacial place because it's real convenient for us. And, you know, God wants us to get there. At the end of the day, God wants us to get there. And so, you know, that's just to kind of lay a little groundwork for this. Let me read just a little bit of journaling that I wrote last night. I hadn't shared this with me. I hadn't even shared it with Lori. She came in late last night and we kind of crashed after talking for a few minutes and all that. I started writing, just kind of recapping some of the word extraordinary that the Lord gave me for 2019 as a word for our life. And so I made some notes on that, and I'm not going to go back into that. But I believe that 2019 is a launching point for the rest of mine and Lori's life, in the sense that God is going to pull the roof off the possibilities in our lives. Because I tell you something, guys, we've got a very, typically we have a very low lid that we put on our life. We think, I'm just one guy from West Georgia. You know, I'm just one girl. Maybe I've had some hard knocks. Maybe I've had some circumstances. Maybe I've had some wasted years. And so we all come in and every one of us feel inadequate to do. We read all the great things and kingdoms, and I tell you, you're created for greatness, and the Word tells us we're created for greatness, and all of this stuff. But we sit there and we look at our limitations, and I don't think this is unique just to us. I remember in John 20, Jesus is coming in, and it's such a contrast here. The disciples, Jesus has been crucified. He's not yet resurrected, they have not experienced Him in His resurrected state yet. Let me back up. They've not experienced Him in His resurrected state yet. They are hiding in an upper room for fear of the Jews. They said, man, they just killed our Lord. They're going to get us too. And so they're scared. Jesus comes in and walks through the walls into their midst and encounters them, and he declares peace over them. He says, peace be unto you. And then after he says, peace be unto you, he shows them his scars. He shows them his pierced side, validating that this is me, guys. This is really me. Okay, I'm validating this to you. And he's showing them this, I'm here. And I'm declaring peace over you. And then he comes in, and it says that he breathes on them and says, receive you the Holy Ghost. He breathes on them and says, receive you the Holy Ghost. The first infilling of the Holy Spirit, for we see, is the beginning of a new covenant. And it's the first infilling we see of believers. We talk about Pentecost and all that, but if Jesus breathes on you and said, receive you the Holy Ghost, how do you get in the Holy Ghost? You know? And so they were filled with preliminary, I don't want to say appetizer, but it was a preliminary filling before Pentecost even took place. Maybe it empowered them to be a catalyst, of the waiting with the 120 in the upper room for Pentecost. Maybe that was the thing that kept them going, and I believe that God will breathe on us certain things in certain times of need that will cause us to have great endurance, that will cause us to keep the faith and keep going and keep trucking and all of that. Because a lot of times people will have circumstances happen in their life, they will have things in life that will hit them, it will chop their legs out from under them, and it takes somebody else around them that God has breathed breath into and say, no, hey brother, let me help you up, let's keep going in this thing together. We've all experienced that from both ends of the spectrum. And so Jesus comes in and he breathes on him and he says, receive you the Holy Ghost. And then he comes in and he says, whosoever sins, basically you release are released. He's saying, I'm giving you authority over the sin curse. Now you're sitting here and you have denied the Lord. You've scattered like a covey of quail. You're hiding. I mean, John was the only one at the foot of the cross that we know of. He was the only one. And so you've got all this going. These guys are sitting here being beat up with guilt and failure and shame and fear and all of this stuff. And then Jesus comes in and breathes on them and says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And, oh, by the way, I'm giving you authority and power over the sin curse. I'm sitting here. If I'm one of these 11 disciples that's sitting here, I don't guess Thomas was in this first group. If I'm one of the 10 disciples that's sitting here, I'm saying, man, he just blew the lid off something that I thought was pretty doggone low. I mean, I thought I was walking in a doggone dwarf house with a 6-foot ceiling, and he just blew the roof off of this thing and said, everything is possible. The sky is the limit because I have filled you with my Spirit. The sky is the limit because I've given you authority and power. The sky's the limit. And what we have to understand as Christians, and what God was speaking to me is, yet last night, is that I believe that 2019 is a launching point for the rest of our lives in the sense that God's going to pull the roof off the possibility in our lives. I bet if I went around here and I said, how many of you guys think that God could use y'all to start some kind of amazing ministry? And y'all, in the first 12 years of that ministry, you're going to give out 88 million pairs of you fill in the blank. Most of us can't see that happening in our life, can we? Because we're like Luke, we're like, dude, I work in a factory. I make handlebars for a living. Randy's postmaster. Jeffrey's computer guy. Keith works in ministry in Atlanta, but you know, I mean, the lid we put on that is, yeah, I'll minister to a few hundred people and all that. And when God comes in and says that the possibilities are limitless in our life, we have a hard time believing that, don't we? And I think the reason we have a hard time believing that is because that we put the onus of responsibility on us and we say, I'm not capable. And God says, you're absolutely right, you're not capable in your own self. But when I come in and I divinely release kingdom into this, then anything's possible. And so that's what the Lord was speaking to me. I believe that we're going to have a heightened sense of awareness. The next thing, it says, along with the amazing favor and blessings, God is going to amplify our awareness of His call for stewardship and release of His blessings through us. And I'll spend a little time and develop that in a minute. I'm going to read that one more time because I think this is something that God's going to start amping up with every one of us. Along with amazing favor and blessings, God is going to amplify our awareness of His call for stewardship and release of His blessings through us. I believe that we will not only be able to correctly see the needs that are in front of us, but we will be able to discern what needs to be done and have the ability to be a significant part of the solution. I firmly believe that next week when we go down to Honduras, that when I get off the plane we're going to so many different aspects of ministry. I told Marty, I said, I want to do a little bit of everything y'all do down here. We're going to build a house. We're doing a homeless feeding like the Safe House in the capital city of Honduras, partnering with a ministry that's already down there and doing that. And that Friday night, we're going to be feeding the homeless in Honduras. That's what we're doing. We're going up into the mountains and some of the indigenous people up there. And we're carrying, you know, food, dry foods. You know, we're carrying rice and beans and all of this stuff. You know, we've got to trek way on up in the mountains to do it. You know, 4-wheel drive vehicles just to get up there. And we're going to be doing a lot of different, we're going to the hospital, doing a lot of different things. But I believe my prayer for the last several years, I mean, for probably a good 10 years, is God, I believe that you're going to connect us with somebody as a house. I believe you're going to connect us with somebody that we can partner with, to where there is a sustainable mission effort that makes lasting change in a nation. Not just one, but in a nation or in nations. It's great to go out and just do a trip, or just a kind of an abstract trip, and go into a village and give out food and do meals and all of that stuff. But where it really impacts is when it's sustainable and it's a constant presence, and it changes people's lives for the long haul. And I've been praying for that. And I really thought, I'll be honest with you, I really thought that connection was going to be Mike Gray. And we did a couple mission trips with them, and they were wonderful. They were tremendous. They were powerful. I mean, and I told Lori, and some of you guys, and I said, man, I believe this is who we're going to be partnering with. And then Mike got cancer and they didn't do as many trips and all of this stuff. And it was like God would not let that thing progress. And so I'm not saying that this is it. But I believe when I get off the plane and I start walking and seeing and doing and all of that stuff, and we go into one of the ministries, the very first afternoon we're going into one of the ministries where the ladies are able to make things and sell things and provide for their family and all that almost kind of like a factory type setting and all of this stuff. I believe we're gonna know real quick. I believe by the time we come back, we're not gonna be scratching our heads saying, I don't know. I believe God's going to show us. And also I believe that in the different aspects of it, because we're doing a lot of different things down there. I mean, it's like every day, 7 days, we've got like probably 10 different ministry things we're going to be doing in 7 days. And I believe God's going to show us this is a place of emphasis that I want you to really connect with and pour into and all of this. I believe God is going to show us detail. Okay? And I want you guys, let me read something else to you right quick. This just blew me away when God spoke this to me. Alright, I'm going to reread the last sentence. I believe that we will not only be able to correctly see the needs that are in front of us, but we will be able to discern what needs to be done and have the ability to be a significant part of the solution. Alright? The barns that Joseph filled, think in Genesis 41, this is where we're going to be this morning, or this evening in Scripture. The barns that Joseph filled in Egypt, in preparation of the famine and during the 7 years of famine, they were not only a storehouse, but they were also a point of distribution. I believe one thing that God is going to do across the board with everybody that's in this house, that has been a part of this house and is coming in and connecting themselves to this house, I believe God's going to come in and God is going to knock the crutch out from under us that, God, you just fill me. We want to come in and we want to get equipped. We want word. We want presence. And God, I believe God's going to come in every one of your lives, no matter where you are in your faith journey, and He's going to say, not only did I build you to be a storehouse, but also built you to be a point of distribution. And God's going to challenge us, Brandon. God's going to challenge us, Randy, to start being that point of distribution. That not only has He filled us and given us and equipped us on not just physical levels, but spiritual levels and everything else, but He is going to cause us to have a heightened awareness that I am also, and what good is a storehouse if it's not a point of distribution? After a while, you know what happens to it? I can fill a barn full of hay, but if I don't feed it out in a couple years, you know what happens? It rots. And there's a lot of people in this house and every other house that are very unsatisfied in their spiritual journey because everything that God has been pouring into you, you have kept it in to the point that it is starting to decay. And you wonder why you're frustrated. And people say, I ain't getting fed anymore. I just ain't feeling it and all that. And so you think you got to hop to another church. And so they'll hop to another church. And sure enough, about a year or two after being in another church, you know what? That same rotten stuff happens. Because you're not a point of distribution. I had something crazy happen to me yesterday, man. I had a business, man. I've been in business relationship with this guy for 20-something years. And he came into my office yesterday. He called me up Thursday and said, "Hey man, when can I come see you?" and all this stuff. And we made an appointment. And he came by my office and all this. And he came in and we were talking. We did our business stuff and everything. And he provides a business service for us. And we were doing all of this stuff. And then he starts he starts asking about how we're doing and how's our family doing and asking me about my marriage and my kids. And I'm asking about his kids. And he's telling me about his son that's working up in New sleeping. I mean, you know the guy, and he comes back down, about to have a baby, and all of this stuff and everything. And he comes in, and man, I couldn't stand it, man. I just started just releasing kingdom. I mean, I started diving into Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 62. And I started talking about the blessings of God and the favor of God and God marrying Himself to our land and all of this stuff. And I'm not talking about just us. I'm talking about His people. If we want it and if we desire it, you know, and it almost got a little, I'm not going to say it got preachy, but it was got, man, I was releasing. And when I got through, man, and it was, you know, where our meeting was over and all of this stuff, and we got up, and it caught me off guard, you know. And I come around my desk, you know, and I'm about to, you know, say, and the guy hugs me. And it caught me off guard, seeing that. I was kind of, whoa, okay, I didn't see that coming, you know. We didn't do the kiss thing or anything like that, you know, the holy kiss. But he hugs me. And in that moment, God said, you released something way more into him than just business. He's made money off me for 20-something years. But in that moment, God said, you released something into him in the last 15 minutes that was more valuable than any money you've released into his company. And God said, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That you're a distribution point. And sometimes it looks like that, and sometimes it looks like a mission trip, and sometimes it looks like going to the CCC every Thursday night. Sometimes it looks like I'm coming in here and I'm faithful in my tithes and my offerings. It amazes me, man. I promise y'all, don't be offended, Victory, but I'm going to be doing some teaching on tithes and offerings this year. Because I want y'all to be blessed. I've never seen a list of who gives and who doesn't give in this house. And I don't want to because I don't want to have any negative impressions on anybody. But I do see the amount that comes in, and I know how much I give, and the majority of this church, either y'all are on poverty level or y'all don't tithe. Hey, I'm just saying, man. And we wonder why God's not blowing us up with increase. I'm serious. Two of my spiritual heroes that I look to as spiritual fathers, one of them say I've never given less than 20%. The other one says I've never given less than 30%. He said, that's my goal every year is 30%. And we struggle with even wanting to do 10. And we wonder, God says, try me. He says, try me. Try me. Try me. And God, I believe God's going to move on us. I will say this, I'm very proud when we do a special offering. That now, I will brag on y'all for a second. The last 2 weeks in a row, we took up, when we did the dinner for, and I know this podcast goes out to a lot of people, and they say, God, they talk about a lot of their, you know, personal stuff in the house. Is this who we are? Okay, it's our house. And Casey, we did the fundraiser for Casey for her mission trip. We took up over $1,600 on the taco lunch thing. Over $1,600. That completely paid for her mission trip with a little bit left over to start throwing into, well, the actual mission trip's about 12 or 13. The rest will go into the funding of supplies and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, man, that's awesome. Sunday, you know how much money we took up Sunday for Marvin and Amanda? Over $1,600. And that was a spur of the moment. Y'all knew about Casey's thing. Y'all didn't even know about Marvin and Amanda. That was a word from the Lord that Beth House gave. And so, man, y'all came in, and it's just like, you know, Marvin gets down here, and Marvin gets down here, that joker's shaking like a leaf. He said, I've been shaking the whole time I've been in this house today. You know, he's one of them I didn't get to preach, and that's cool. And he gets up and shares at the end, and Beth said, man, the Lord's been blowing up in me with their situation about having to go back and forth to Texas all the time so he can be a father. You know, you do whatever it takes to be a good daddy. Why do you think you're good and our Heavenly Father is not as good as you? Amen. Come on, somebody. If we can be that good as earthly fathers, and I've always applauded and commended Marvin for trying to be that father. I always thought highly of him for trying to be that father. Because that's a tall order, you going back and forth to Dallas, Texas twice a month just so you can be a dad and send visitation rights to your daughter. Now, hey, that's stepping up and all that stuff. But anyway, at the drop of a hat, y'all gave $1,600 and something, man. And I'm like, whew, that'll buy 3 airline tickets out there, round trip. And that's awesome. That's tremendous and all that stuff. But what we've got to realize is that God wants us to be a consistent, constant point of distribution. Consistent, constant point of distribution. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Yes. And we do. We so short sell God. I do that. I even do that. I'm in a good place in my faith journey right now, but I still do that because I want to put this lower lid on God. You know, I'll go ahead and throw this out there. Last year, I've shared this with several people, and I may have shared it in the church. Last year, God blessed our business to the point that we grew 50% in our business last year. 50%. That's a phenomenal growth for a 1 year growth, isn't it? 50%. You ask any business, man, can you grow 50% in a year? They'd be like, oh, golly. You know, that's, and I'll give him all the credit and all the glory and it's his favor and all of that stuff. You know, it is not because I'm slick and we're slick or anything like that. We work hard, but it's his favor and his blessings. But then I came in on top of that and I made the statement at Christmas talking with my family around our dinner table with my mom and my dad, I mean my mom and my brother and his family and everything. And I made the statement. I said, but I know there ain't no way we can grow that much this year. That would be crazy to think we could grow 50% again this year. And God got up on me and rebuked me. And he said, who do you think caused the 50% growth last year? I said, you did. I never took it. Yeah, that's you, Lord. He said, why do you think I'm not capable of doing that again this year? And so I repented and I said, God, I'm sorry. You do what you want to do with this. And I'm just along for the ride on this. Y'all know how much we grew in January over last year's January? 55%. And I'm just like, thank you, Lord. I'll shut my mouth. I'll just believe you for what you want to do with this. And that's the place we've got to get to in our life. That's the place we've got to get to in our life where we say, God, you take the lid off of this and you do what you want to in my life. We sing it all the time, but we really don't believe it. Here's my life, Lord. Take me, use me, kill me. I want to die on the altar so you can resurrect me as a new man or a new woman, but we don't believe what he can do with that. And so we have to believe and understand and be, I got to get back on track. The barns that Joseph filled were not only a storehouse, but they were a point of distribution. And I believe that God's going to start heightening the awareness in here that, Tana, you're a point of distribution, not just a storehouse. Quit storing it up for that proverbial rainy day. I'm not saying don't be smart with your finances. I'm talking about releasing kingdom, guys. Releasing kingdom. Telling people what God's doing in your life. Telling people how good He is. Meeting needs where you can meet needs. Something huge that you did last night, Linda, is you went to the Kelly Foundation and got a couple ladies from there. Is that who you brought with you last night? Or you brought Linda? Oh, somebody told me, says, man, oh, Linda went and got them. Linda Pike. Yay, I thought it was Linda Carter. You know what she was doing? She was a point of distribution. My mama's church had a ladies meeting the other night at their church, and you know my mom's 80 something years old, and she don't like driving it dark too much either. And one of the younger ladies in the church, I say younger, she's my age, you know. Vicki Carroll called her up and said, not Caroline Boyd, but Vicki Carroll called her up and says, hey Marlene, I'll come get you and carry you to the ladies meeting. You know what Vicki was being that night? She was being a point of distribution to my mama. She was saying, let me facilitate some kingdom in your life. Let me facilitate some kingdom in your life. And I believe that God's going to challenge us and heighten that this year. All right? All right, here, let me hit a couple good things and then we're going to... I'm not going to rush through this, guys, because we're going to be on this for several weeks in this Genesis 41. There's just too much in here. All right, can I hit you guys with something right quick? Don't think that you can't be that while you're in the Blake house. Because if you're not careful, you'll come in and you'll say, man, I'm, and I know y'all going to miss Sunday, but next Wednesday we're going to talk about Joseph, and by no means am I correlating the Blake house with being in prison, but he wasn't free to do what exactly he wanted to do. Joseph spent 13 years in a place of servitude before he was elevated. 13 years. But during those 13 years, you know what Joseph was? He found favor, he was blessed, and he was used big time. So don't think God can't use you during the 10 months or 20 months or however long you're in the Blake house. Because that is a time that God can use you to pour into somebody and in such a unique way when they are at an extremely vulnerable place. And so I don't want you to think, man, I'm at any point in my life, anybody that I'm at any point in my life to where things are just kind of, they're in shutdown, it's in lockdown, and one of these days, how many times have we said that, one of these days? One of these days I'm going to do this, one of these days I'm going to do that, one of these days I'm going to be in a better position. And Joseph spent 13 years in a place of servitude, okay? All right, the next thing I wrote is we walk through this journey of life saying, what can I redeem? I personally believe, and I believe the Bible screams it, Old Testament and New Testament, that God has not only empowered us, but mandated us to redeem this planet. I grew up in theology. I grew up in rapture theology like a lot of you did. And rapture theology is this world's getting worse and worse and worse and going to hell in a handbasket and the Lord's going to come back real quick because it's awful. How many of y'all grew up in that? We grew up in that, didn't we, Amanda? And you know what that does? That causes us to get into an escape mentality to where we're saying, I'm just here short term only. How many of y'all have had a brand new car in your life? Pretty much everybody in here. Most everybody in here. How many of y'all have had a rental car before? How many of y'all treated your rental car just like you did your brand new car when you brought it home from the lot? You didn't. Because you said, I'm going to be in this thing for one day, 7 days, 5 days. I'm not saying you mistreated it, but you used it as a rental. Your mindset toward it was a rental. And with this theology that I grew up with, this rapture theology, this escape theology, I treated this planet like a rental. God's going to destroy it one day anyway, make a new one. It's going to keep getting more wicked and more wicked and more wicked. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And I'll jump on some of Brother Damon's teaching that he's been hitting on for the last year and all of that stuff. The Word does not teach that when the whore gets dirty enough, God's going to come rescue His bride. It says He's going to come back for a pure and spotless bride. He didn't judge Solomon and Gomorrah for their wickedness. He judged Solomon and Gomorrah for their lack of righteousness. And so I believe that we have to get into this mindset that God has left me here to redeem this planet. He's left me here to redeem this planet. And if I can pull principles from worldly people out there, worldly companies out there like Patagonia and all of these companies, Orvis and all of these companies, if I can pull principles for them and apply them in a spiritual tone, in a spiritual setting to help redeem the planet, I'm an environmentalist because the Bible teaches me I'm supposed to be an environmentalist. I believe in killing stuff and catching stuff and eating stuff and all of that stuff. But I believe, that's like the old Boy Scout thing. I want to leave it better than how I found it. And I believe that's the kingdom thing. And we've got to shift our mindset to a thing that God wants us to colonize this place. God wants us to come out. Y'all know how the Muslim faith is growing so much. They're not going out and evangelizing the world with the Muslim faith. You know how the Muslim faith is growing so much? They're having babies. They're having babies. They're raising up children. They are raising up children. The church makes a mistake, and the word says to go and teach and to preach and proclaim and all of that, and we are to go out and we're to evangelize. But I want to tell you something, just evangelism is failing. It is unfruitful unless we come in and we colonize. The answer is kingdom family. The answer is kingdom family. That's the answer. That is the answer, is kingdom family. That's it. Generation and generation and generation and generation. It's not a question if your kids are going to serve the Lord. It's not a question if your kids are going to serve the Lord. It's how far and how fast and how hot can we chase after God? Can we allow God to blow up? Can we God set things up generationally? And let me read this again. We walk through this journey of life saying, what can I redeem? And the answer is everything. The answer is everything. To me, the only real question is when. The how is shown to us when the when gate is opened. We figure we want to come in and we say, all right, God, what do you want me to redeem? And how do you want me to redeem it? Give me a strategy, give me a game plan and all of that stuff. And we need to come in and say, God, I know you want me to redeem everything. When do you want me to redeem it? And when we walk through the wind gate, I believe He'll show us the how. See, that's the thing. I'm not going down to Honduras thinking I can redeem that whole country. But I can come in and there are certain points and there are certain aspects and there are certain people that I plan on releasing kingdom into. Because remember what I said in John 20, He said that He gave them authority over the sin curse. Guess who else He gave authority over the sin curse? Jeffrey Thompson. Annie Lee. Randy Hagin. Coach. He gave us that authority over the sin curse. So we have the power, we have the authority, and if we are filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit, the Word says if we're filled and led by the Spirit, we're the sons of God. If we're walking in that capacity, then He will show us the detail and the technique of how to... Where do you think the idea of Tom's thing originated? God breathed that. Because you know what you and I do? We would have bought 4,000 pairs of shoes. Because that's what He could afford. His heart was already moved that I want to go back to Argentina and carry shoes to all these kids that don't have shoes. God already stirred that in His heart. And He said, I had enough money. Were y'all here when I told the story of the Tom's guy? Dude. I need to take time to share that with y'all. Y'all all familiar with the Tom's shoes and all that. That wasn't some business ploy. He was down in Argentina and God moved on his heart on all the poverty. He went out and helped some people distribute some shoes. And he said, what can I do to make a change in this? He came back home. He said, I had $40,000 that I could have bought 4,000 pairs of shoes in. And he said, I was going to go all in. And that wasn't just how much cash he had. That was his credit limit and everything. And he says, I got to talking to another businessman. And between that and God breathing life into that thing, we came up with the idea of instead of me buying 4,000 pair of shoes and carrying it down there and being a one-time fix for 4,000 people, what if we started a company and we did a buy one, get one, but instead of you getting the free one, you're donating it to kids in another country. And so he started that with $40,000. $40,000 is not that much, guys. We blow that in a couple years pretty easy, don't we? And you think about your income, how much, you know, if you start saying, yeah, I probably blew, you know, me and Lord probably blew $40,000 in 3 years eating out. Yeah, I'm sorry, we're foodies. That's not that much. But by God speaking something to him, the unique, and showing him the how, he takes $40,000, brother, and he starts a company. 12 years later, I heard this interview just a few weeks ago. 12 years later, you know how many pairs of shoes they have given free to people and children in 70-something countries? 88 million. 88 million pairs of shoes. 88 million kids that did not have shoes are wearing shoes because God breathed an idea into somebody and he says, what can I redeem? And God says, this is how you redeem it. 88 million. You say, man, that is tremendous. Here's the thing, guys. God wants us to be faithful in the stuff that's in front of us. You know what's in front of us? Signing up, bringing stuff to the backpack program every week. Come on. Signing up and bringing stuff to the backpack program every week. Jeffrey could roll some stats out. He's on the board of directors at CCC. He could roll some stats out to the CCC about how much food is given out every year through the old Holcomb supermarket in Tallapoosa, Georgia. They're doing ultrasounds down there. They're doing free dental. They're doing free doctor. They're doing all kind of stuff. On a sustainable, consistent, people come in every month and get a big, good box of food every month. We say, I want to change the world. There you go. And our church pours a minimum of $6,000 a year into that, a minimum. That's just our standard $500 a month gift. I feel great about it. Man, I look on our financial thing. If y'all want to look in our financial sheets there in the fellowship hall in there, y'all go look at all the ministry support we do. Like I said, last year it was about 27%. 27.1% last year is what we gave out to ministries and all that. And I feel good about that. But you know where that money comes from? When people tithe. When people tithe. I'm amazed at people in the house. I'm gonna help y'all. I want to bless y'all. I'm amazed at people that come in the house week in and week out and week in and week out, and they never do anything up here from a tithing standpoint, and they wonder how the power bill gets paid every month. And I can say this because I don't get a check. I never have, and unless God changes something radical, I never will. So y'all can't say I preach on money, so I'll get more money, because I don't. It's to help y'all so y'all will be blessed. It's to help y'all so y'all will be blessed. When y'all get out of this thing and y'all get plugged into a local community of believers, man, be a part of the storehouse. Be a part of the storehouse. Be part of the distribution, the point of distribution. Instead of just the kind that comes in and say, well, I hope he brings a good word to me this week. If he does, I'll bless him and I'll come back next week. Woo, you're doing me some favors, ain't you, Slick? I'm going to preach just as hard to 12 as I do with 300. Don't make no never mind to me. I just want y'all to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. The how is shown to us when the when gate is opened. We never get the how because we never walk through the when gate. You keep waiting for the how. How am I going to redeem a planet? When God tells you to start doing something, walk through that gate, and then He's going to give you the how when you walk through it. I had no intention of going there with that guy yesterday. We're just catching up. And it elevated. Cool. That's good. That's awesome. This whole thing with Marty and Krista and their ministry in Honduras, and all, that all started because Casey Hardy went on a mission trip. That's when that gate opened. And the gate opened for her when FCA said, let's make this a FCA trip. See how this works? It will always be accomplished by releasing kingdom into it, but I am convinced that Holy Spirit will give us detail on the how. Isaiah 61. We will begin to see things through heaven's lens from heaven's perspective. Alright, Joshua 1:3. The Lord comes to Joshua. The children of Israel are about to go in the promised land. I wrote this down verbatim, King James. The Lord told Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Let me read that one more time. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. How big was their promised land? How big was their promised land? However big they wanted to colonize. He gave them the promise and said, "Every Casey, everything that your foot touches is yours." Well, what limits how much you get? How much you put your foot to? How much do you want? How much do you want? I was talking to a guy about marriage the other day, and I said, you know, he was asking us about our marriage and all that stuff, and I said, yeah, we've been married for 37 years, man. It's, 36 years this year. I said, it's just been tremendous. It's awesome. I said, you know, I really don't understand. I said, it's easy. I said, marriage is probably the easiest thing that I do in life. And I bet if you ask her behind closed doors, she would tell you the exact same thing. It is probably the easiest thing that we do in life. But it is also one of the most heavily invested things that I do in life. It's easy, but I invest more in it than I do anything else other than my relationship with Him and alongside of our relationship with our children. And so my point is, everybody wants to possess, but everybody don't want to colonize. How much are you willing to colonize? How much are you willing to come in and build permanent structure and marry yourself to a land? People don't want to do it in this house. As long as everything's going good the way I think it ought to be going, then I'll be a member there. But boy, when they cross me, guess what? I'm going to go somewhere else. Well, you'll go to that church and you'll have the same mentality and you'll get the same results. But when you come in and you marry yourself to a place, my life changed when I married myself to Bremen, Georgia. And I'm not even a huge fan of Bremen, Georgia. But I married myself to this place because I came to the realization God planted me in Harrison County. And I quit dreaming about living in Montana. I quit dreaming about living in New Zealand. I quit dreaming about living in Patagonia. And I said, you know what? God, if you planted me in Harrelson County, then I'm going to flourish in Harrelson County. And I'm going to thrive in Harrelson County. And so I married myself to this land. And I said, I'm all in. And I'm investing everything that I have in this land to redeem this land. And you know what? It's getting me pretty doggone easy living here. I don't have a wandering eye for every other place I visit. We travel a lot. I go to a lot of beautiful places. Here and internationally. But you know what's got my heart? Right here. And you know why this has got my heart? Because God said, this is where I want you to colonize. And He said, if you will set your foot to it and colonize it, I'll give it to you. I said, all right, Lord. You want God to marry yourself to bring... How many of y'all want to see Harrelson County transformed? We say we do. But we hadn't married ourselves to Harrelson County. We're still reluctantly living here. We're still here with a squatter or a renter's mindset. I don't like it, but golly, I guess I'm stuck here. And you want God to marry Himself to that? Start saying, God, this is home. I don't know why God grew me up right here. When I was a young child, my dad had opportunity to move us to Italy. He had a tremendous corporate opportunity. They flew him over there and wined him and dined him and toured him around their facilities around the country and said, move over here and we will give you this, man, a huge position for a little old sharecropper kid that grew up in Stedman in East Alabama, picking cotton at the end of the Depression, that got his GED. Hello, somebody. He got his GED. Mama said they flew him over there, and Dad told me this story. They offered all of this stuff and all that. And you know what he said? He turned down. He said, no. He said, you know why? Because it's not home. My family's not here. My family's not in Milan, Italy. That's where it was. Man, you went with us to Italy last, man, golly, it's beautiful. But you know what? And when Italians come over here, they say, America's beautiful. And I have people I love out west, but I have people from out west. I mean, I used to have people come in from out west, and they would come here on business trips and all that, and they would be amazed at how green everything is. Those old pine trees that we cuss. Courtney, they talked about how everything was green and everything was beautiful. Now, like, these pine trees everywhere are amazing. And I'm like, really? But getting back to where I was a couple seconds ago, if we want God to marry ourselves to, or marry Himself to our land, we at first have to marry ourselves to our land. And I want to tell you something. When you do that, your wandering heart will cease. Some of y'all need to get settled and marry yourself to your spouse. You say, brother, I'm wearing a wedding ring. You need to get married to your spouse in your heart. That wandering eye will die. When she becomes the apple of your eye, when he becomes the apple of your eye, then all these other little younger, probably not prettier, but younger, won't catch your gaze anymore. Because she's got your heart. And that other stuff dies. We've just got to learn to come in and say, God, I'm redeeming this because you put me here. Now show us how. Show us how. Show us how. Show us how. Start investing yourself in that school system. And I know you're at the brink of retirement and all of that stuff, but doggone pour in so hard right now. And excuse me, you raise up sons and daughters behind you that when you do finally retire, that it's not a momentum thing. Because you know what happens? We all want momentum. I don't want momentum. We talk about Big Mo. Just give me some momentum. I want momentum. We got momentum and all that. You know what momentum is? And it stops because your hand's off of it. You know what a relay race is? I'm passing a baton and they do another lap. And they're passing the baton and they're doing another lap. And they're passing a baton, and they're doing another lap. I don't want momentum in life. I want relay that the baton gets passed. Because momentum means that somebody let go of it. And it will eventually stop. But when we raise up sons, and we raise up daughters, and we raise up spiritual grandchildren, and spiritual great-grandchildren, and we keep it going on, and on, and on, and on, and we colonize. And we like the idea of it, but it's work. Do this work. Everybody loves the idea of having a farm. Steph was talking to me last night before a ladies' meeting. I stopped by and dropped off some stuff, and they were up here decorating all that. And she said, "Hey, I want to bring Jace out to the farm, and he just loves tractors and cows and all that." And I said, "Bring him on." I said the same thing with y'all's kids. I said, it's an everyday thing. It's not like I do it on the third Thursday of every month. You just come out there and it'll happen every day. And we love the idea of redeeming the planet. But we don't love the idea of colonizing the planet, because when we get right down to it, we really don't like the planet. And I pray in a shift in this house that we start loving the world. You know why y'all like coming out here? You know why ever since... How long has Blake House been coming out? Anybody know the history on that? I mean, it's ever since Blake House was started, they've been coming out here. Because even before it was the Blake House, it was... I'm talking about before that. What was the other one? Teen Challenge was out there, man. We were connected with those guys too. But you know why every generation of guys like coming out here? It's not because I'm a great teacher. You know, every once in a while I'll do good, then sometimes I'll suck it up, but you know why everybody likes coming out here? Because we genuinely love y'all. We genuinely love y'all. We genuinely love y'all. And we love you when you do good, and we love you when you screw up, and I still love the guys when they drop out and quit, and when they get kicked out. I'm still in relationships, some of them. Every once in a while, one of them will show up in church. Someone will text me and say, hey man, you going to be at church? I'm coming through and I want to come to church. You know? And when we learn to love this whole shooting match, It's when we'll be able, we will be positioned to redeem it. When you don't despise the people that come through CCC and say, you need to go get a job, you need to get your act together. Yeah, I know sometimes we need to give people the answers that they don't want to hear. It doesn't mean we enable or we pacify. But we got to start looking at them and say, man, I love these people. And I love this place. And I love who comes through in this house on any given Sunday. We've got a little cliche we use and we say, just minister to what's in front of you. That's why I don't come in every week and say, man, if they were here, it'd been awesome. But if we'd had these here, it'd been awesome and all that stuff. Just minister to who's in front of me. And if it's 20 visitors, if it's no visitors, if it's home folks, if you guys weren't here tonight, I'd be preaching just as hard to the other folks. And if y'all were the only ones, I'd be preaching just as hard to y'all. Because we've got to learn to come in and marry ourselves and love this thing. Wow, it's 8 o'clock and I did not even get to the text. All right, let me close it up. We'll jump in the text Sunday morning, I promise you guys. Hey, Genesis 41 is going to rock your world. There is some stuff in here. I mean, I've already got just pages of stuff that God's speaking to me. But it's us walking in the pattern of Joseph. And I believe there's a real type. We can see Joseph as a type of Christ, but there's a real type where I can see us walking in the pattern of Joseph. And so we're going to dive into that Sunday morning. I'm super pumped about it. You know, y'all don't sing but two songs, and then I'm just kidding. But y'all better let me preach Sunday. No, I'm just kidding on that too. But I'm not. We'll just stay for 4 hours. Y'all ain't had a 4-hour church service in a while. Yes, 3 hours. Deborah's got it. She can handle it. Let me read this one more time. We will begin to see things through heaven's lens from heaven's perspective. In Joshua 1:3, the Lord said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. How big was their promised land? Question I'll leave with you guys tonight is, how big is your promised land? How big is it, Brandon? It's as big as what you're willing to colonize. Because we've got kingdom promises. We've got God, I believe, is going to come in and He's going to start ripping the lid off. I believe in your life, God, this year, God's going to show you and Andy, He's going to start pulling the lid off and showing you the potential. I'm not saying you're going to walk in the fullness of it. Me and Lori are not even. We're just now getting a word He gave me last night. And He says, I'm launching y'all into the what's next of your life. I'm launching you. It wasn't, I'm giving y'all permission to, you know, float on up. No, it's like, I mean, I had the vision of like a rocket being launched. Because I believe it's going to happen at a fast pace. But I believe God's going to take the lid off and you guys are going to start seeing a lid being removed that you had placed over y'all's life and say, man, we're just country folks from Harrison County. Ain't nothing special about us. And God said, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, you are. Y'all carry a level of influence that you don't even realize. Y'all carry a level of influence that you don't even realize. And the real question that God's going to start challenging y'all with is, how much are you willing to colonize? Because I want to tell you something, guys. Now, I invest, besides my relationship with God, I invest more in this, and I invest more in my children that sit on this front row and grandchildren that sit on this front row. But that does not mean that I do not have a responsibility for everything else. And I pray and God kills narcissism in our church this year. Where we stop thinking everything's about us. I got a mandate for this. I've got a mandate for this, but I've also got a mandate for this. And not only do I have a mandate for this, I've got a mandate for everything that she loves. We went and watched, I'm closing, I promise. James and Cameron in the nursery, I promise I'm closing. We went and watched Mary play championship game the other night. And Linda and Keith were down there and all that stuff. We were leaving the game, you know, as soon as the game was over, I was like, okay, now we can, you know, this, cause I just don't love, I'll be honest with you, I liked watching Mary play, but I don't love middle school basketball anymore. So I did not stay for the boys game, if there's a clue to you. And we were leaving, and we were going out in the parking lot, and a lady comes running up and hugs Lori's neck. Hugs her neck. And that lady cares for Lori, and you know why she cares for Lori? Because Ariel and Lisa coached her daughter. And she knew that we loved what they loved. She knew that we loved, it's important to us what she loves. And so she loves us. She loves us simply because we loved her child. And the reason we loved her child is because we love the things that she loves. You start running with that in your life. You know what will happen? You'll spread. You'll spread. We saw Adam and Emily the other night in a restaurant. Saw Adam and Emily. Come up, man. We hugging in the restaurant and all that stuff. You know why I love them? Because I love y'all. And I love the things that y'all love. I love the people y'all love. I barely know them. I've been around them a handful of times, but I'm going to say, man, I love these guys. You know why I do? Because y'all love them. Because y'all love them. Because you love them. And when we start doing that, we'll start redeeming this planet. But until we do that, we won't redeem squat. Thank you, Brother Sid. That's a good word. Let's stand to our feet. Y'all go home and study Genesis 41. We'll dive into some good stuff Sunday morning, good Lord willing. And if not, it'll be so phenomenal that y'all won't care that we don't teach it, and we'll teach it next Wednesday night. How about that? Yeah. Amen. Man, we just want... Man, I love you guys. Big time. Tomorrow's Ryland's birthday. How old is Ryland? I'm not going to say how old would she be. How old is Ryland? Ryland's 5. She's 5. She's in heaven right now. She's with Jesus right now. She ain't in some funky place or anything like that. She's with Jesus right now. And she's looking down at everything that's going on. The Word says we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And that's not just these great kingdom saints, Peter, James, and John. That's Ryland and my father and many of your loved ones and Doyle and all of these other people. And I believe, I know in my spirit, they're sitting here and they're saying, man, I see what Mama's doing. I see my brother Jace growing up and all of that stuff. And they're cheering us on. They're not trapped in the dimension of time that we are. Because it's just a moment to them. It's years to us. Long years to us. But it's a moment to them. So I just want to comfort y'all with that. I want to comfort y'all with that. The Lord's got her. The Lord's got her. And we've got each other. And y'all've got each other. Don't be afraid to colonize. I know you can't wait for that day. But don't miss this day waiting on that day. All right? Don't miss this day waiting on that day. Because it's all going to be glorious. And when we look at on the scope and the breadth of eternity, our 30, 40, 50 years is a small scope of time. But it can be a mighty significant scope in time. So we just want you guys to know we're thinking about y'all and we love y'all. Big time for real, man. For real. Y'all want to come down and spend a little altar time, take communion. If you need to come before the Lord and just, man, whatever. Maybe just a grateful heart. It ain't always about repenting of your sins. There's a big place for that too. Sometimes it's just coming down with a grateful heart. saying, God, I thank you for everything you've done. I thank you for everything you're doing. I thank you for everything you're going to do. And so we're just going to open up the altar, open up some time with the Lord. Cindy, if you'll just start a little bit of worship music. Father God, we love you and we thank you for your goodness to us.
Nothing to gain, nothing to lose.
We thank you that you're Abba and not judge.
Nothing to show, nothing to prove.
You're Abba and not judge.
Our hearts laid bare before you.
Like that. And you discipline us and you deal with us, but you do it from a father-loving standpoint. And I thank you for the love that you bestow upon us. And I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for the hope that we have. I thank you for the strength and the courage that you release into us. When you breathed on us and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, we got it all. And I thank you for that. I pray you'd be extra special and near and close with Jacob and Stephanie this week. Just love on them big time. Love on them good, Father. Let us love on them well.
Breathing again in your smile.
And I pray you just touch everybody that's here. Everybody's in a different stage in their journey and everybody's going through different things. Father, I pray you just stir and just move in each of our lives, bringing us from glory to glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
All across the room, just take a deep breath in His presence right now.